Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. Shady Rays is having their best deal of the year. Go to ShadyRays.com and use promo code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. And go to SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Shady to enter the Shady Rays Parlay of the Day contest. We're also brought to you by the SGPN's Draft Week. All week long, SGPN has you covered with draft props, mock drafts, and our live NFL Draft Watch Party. So make sure to smash that subscribe button at youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast.
Hi, y'all, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 335. I've dedicated it, this episode to the Phoenix Suns a bunch of times, but they're going to get another dedication because they took care of the hobbled Clippers and they're on to the next round. So congratulations, Phoenix Suns. I'm sure you're all listening now on your days off. So this is not a Phoenix Suns podcast, even though it could be. I'm one of your hosts of the MMA Gambling Podcast, Jeff Chalks Fox, the chalky half of the duo. I guess that's where the nickname came from, but I don't really know if that's the case anymore. Since 2023 came around, things are a little bizarro and I'm picking dogs and my co-host isn't in on the dogs I'm in on. It's, you know, weird things are going down. We've got a fight card, which is being changed by the minute. We just had right before we started hit record, we had a fight fall out and a fighter step in, and yeah, craziness is going on. Helping me understand it all and helping you understand it all is the expert on all things craziness. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, it couldn't be a Phoenix Suns podcast, by the way, with me on it. I don't think I would be.
You don't know enough?
I don't think enough.
Then you could be me and I can be you in that scenario.
Yeah, where I just queue you up with questions.
Yeah, queue me up. I'm a genius. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I would like that.
I will say DeAndre Ayton.
Yes, DeAndre Ayton. It'd be nice for me finally not being the setup guy and actually being smart about something.
Yeah, you just do that throughout the day, right? Like that, yes. Isn't that when, yeah, I mean, you're an editor. That's just setting up guys to look smart and, you know.
It's true.
Yeah. It's a good role for you.
Enough about me. What about this wacky card? First, we lost our headliner a couple weeks ago and we have a new headliner in there that us nerds are excited about. But then we lost a bunch of fights. Not a bunch of fights.
I mean, like we lost
Emily Ducotte, Pollyanna Viana got bumped ahead.
Yeah, and that's the thing is a lot weeks. Of these we didn't lose. They either got moved or you know, like we got replacement fighters. So that one got moved. We also got Pete Rodriguez versus Nathan Levy. That one got moved. We're gonna get that fight again a little bit later. Josh Quinlan was supposed to fight Angelusa. He's not fighting Angelusa anymore. But Josh Quinlan's still fighting. And then we lost just before we started recording here. We lost Brian Kelleher to mysterious circumstances that we're hopefully about to find out. I saw he had tweeted that he in due time he would tell everybody, but the UFC was not comfortable with him fighting. Really worried that it's like I'm kind of worried that it's
health
like
issue.
I'm worried it's a brain thing. You know what I mean? Like when he
brain or heart or something like that. Yeah.
Had a brain scan thing come back. That's not good.
He has fought a lot and been hit a lot.
So. Yeah. He's one of those dudes who slugs it out. So, I'm hoping for the best for him, but like that was a real ominous post. So hopefully it's nothing that bad. It's just like, you know, maybe like an ACL or something like that. Those are much, much easier to replace than your brain.
Yes. No doubt.
But
no
yeah. Doubt.
Oh, but, Let but me tell you. But that brain fight, replacement, not easy.
Not easy. but that fight wound up getting saved just like the Josh Quinlan one. So we still got plenty of fights here. We still got 11.
We got 11 fights, and all of the research I've done is it isn't for naught because the fights that got pushed down the road, I will save in my spreadsheet. Now I'll be all I'm ahead of the game now, Dan. I have fights already. I have info already ready for May 13th and May 20th. So there you
love
go.
It. Love it.
How amazing is that? So yeah, we're going to dig into the prelims today. Five fight prelims. And then tomorrow, as per usual, if you're a long-time listener, you will know the drill. Tomorrow is all about the main card. It's all about locks, dogs, props, and our big parlay, which is going to hit this week. Speaking of parlays, speaking of transitions, Shady Rays has a Parlay of the Day contest going on right now. We're running a special Parlay of the Day contest for people who have bought their shades from ShadyRays.com using promo code SGPN. Each day of the NFL draft, the Sports Gambling Podcast will release a Shady Rays Parlay of the Day. If the parlay hits the cash, will be awarded to one lucky listener. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady to start getting shady. I think most of our listeners are shady, wouldn't you say?
There's a good chance we do some shady.
Let me tell you about Shady Rays while we're at it. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offer a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. We all love that. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. That means if you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, you stupid klutz. No, that part's not. They didn't say that part. I'm adding that part, you stupid klutz. No questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Maybe you're not a klutz. Maybe someone just punched you in the face because you're a jerk, right? And broke your Shady Rays.
That's a possibility. You're looking for my input?
Distinct possibility. Yes, I was looking for your input. Distinct possibility. This is not part of the ad copy. I'm ad-libbing people. All right, I'm back to the ad copy now. With Shady Rays, you can look good and feel good. To date, they have donated over 20 million meals to fight hunger with Feeding America. So they're a wonderful company, obviously. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the year. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people. Did it sound sarcastic when I said they're a great company? Because I meant it.
No. I mean, everything.
I always sound sarcastic.
Yeah, I was going to say everything you say.
I know,
sounds
that's
like
why
it comes
I'm worried
it.
About it.
Like sometimes even when you're flattering me, it sounds sarcastic.
Well, yeah. Bad example, but yes, true. All right. Let's dive into it. Song versus Simon with an accent. The accent. I can't remember what that accent's called from French, but he's not French. It's going down April 29th. That would be Saturday. It's going down from the UFC Apex in Enterprise, Nevada, which is a fancy way of saying it's a suburb of or outskirts of Las Vegas. When are we starting this here thing? Let me see.
4:30 is the new start.
Oh, beautiful. 4:30 main card Eastern on prelims 4:30 Eastern, ESPN2 or ESPN+. You pick your poison, or TSN if you're up here in Canada. All right, we're starting with women's bantamweights. Should we really break this down? It's not going to happen. Haley Cowan, Jamie Lynn.
It doesn't seem like Haley Cowan is ever going to fight, does it?
This isn't going to happen. Okay, maybe it'll happen. In case it does,
this is our third Haley Cowan fight we've broken down, and that's if you don't count Contender Series.
Yep.
And she has only fought on the Contender Series.
Wasn't always her fault. One time it was her inside's fault.
And one time it was Tamiris Vidal's fault.
Right. And okay, yeah. And this is the third time. We'll see. She's fighting a Canadian, though. Oh, boy. And a Canadian who was on the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. So I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. Let's tell you about All Hail Haley Cowan first. The It Girl, it should be her nickname. She's 7-2, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been submitted twice, so that seems to be the Achilles heel at this point for her. This is her debut, once again, her attempted debut in the UFC. 1-0 Contender Series, as my voice cracks. She's won 2 straight fights, 1-0 on Invicta, used to fight at flyweight. This is at bantamweight. She outstruck her opponent on Contender Series by about half a strike a minute. 0.46 is her strike differential. She's 1 inch taller than Horth and 2 years younger. Plus 125 was the most recent number I got. Numbers are really moving on this card from when I, yesterday or 2 days ago was when I did the original research. And then I went back today to update the odds, and things are moving, not in the good way a lot of times too.
Yeah, they've been bouncing around. Yeah. And I think some of it's because there's just unfamiliarity with some of the fighters.
True. Like this one I'm going to break down right here. Jamie Lindhorst. Dan knows who she is, of course. She is 5-0, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. So she's finished everyone. This is her UFC debut on short notice. A little less than a month notice. She has not fought since December of 2021. She mentions on Dan's, when Dan interviews her on Top Turtle, how the various reasons why she's having trouble finding fights. She is the LFA champ, or I guess she has to relinquish her title now, but she is going into this fight. She was the LFA champion. She also was a regional champion. Usually she fights at 125. This one's at 135, and she's at minus 142. There's one of those weird lines for you.
I love when you give me those ones.
Hey, whatever is the best odds on best fight odds, I give you people. So
yeah. And I'll say this. So, you know, when this fight opened, she was a dog. You could have gotten her at like plus 130, or even a little higher than that, I think, to start. She's been bet all the way up into being a pretty sizable favorite. And I'll tell you what, I think the smart money is on Hort still, even at negative 140. It's because, like, if you look at Haley Cowan, and I think I said this when we broke her down the other two times and when we broke her out down on Contender Series, is she uses a lot of muscle and a lot of strength in what she does for her takedowns. Like, if you look at the difference between these two women when they're holding people against the cage, because both of them like to do that, right? Like, both of them like to hold women against the cage, throw knees to the body, work over the legs, stuff like that. But if you look at the way that Jamie Lindhorst does it, you know, there's a clear intention of getting two underhooks, or at least taking one underhook. Her forehead is smashing against the other girl's chin and that's turning nice. Her. It's perfect. It's exactly what you want to do when you're shooting a takedown, and what you want to do to keep them pinned while you're looking for underhooks and looking for a double leg. And she does try to work down to the hips and work to a double leg. Whereas if you look at Cowan, and especially in that Contender Series fight against Claudia Liette, she had both underhooks. She didn't have to dig for them anymore. And she did that weird thing that you see sometimes like sloppy light heavyweights do, where they just put like both of the underhooks way up over their opponent's head, almost like they're trying to put them in a full Nelson from the front. And like, there's no reasonable takedown from there. There's no reasonable way to strike from there. There's no reasonable way to break from there. It's just like, it's like the easiest way to hold somebody in a spot. And that's really what, like, you'll notice about what Haley Cowan does, is she's just like, she's happy to be in a position that's dominant, and Horth is constantly working. And the other thing you'll notice too about Horth is she hits really hard. You know, like you mentioned, you know, all of her wins are finishes, every single one of them. And it's because she hits like a truck. She throws a mean, like, wide right hook. I don't really love how she like dips her head into it, but like she throws a really nice hook. She backs people up. And I've seen Haley Cowan's chin look bad. You know, you mentioned she's lost both by submission, but both of those fights, she was tagged and then submitted. Kelly Clayton, who, by the way, Kelly Clayton, 2-2 in her pro career, threw a mean right hand, absolutely wobbled Haley Cowan. Haley Cowan shot a dumb takedown, got guillotine choked, and like badly guillotine choked. And if Kelly Clayton at 2-2 with a loss to Serena De Jesus can do that to her, Jamie Lindhorst is definitely going to be able to do that. So yeah, like I think Jamie Lindhorst, stronger, longer, better in the clinch, better finishing abilities. Why wouldn't you like her at negative 142?
So that's a lot of info on Jamie Lindhorst for you. I will tell you why I don't like her at that number. Short notice debut, hasn't fought in a year and a half. I'm going with my stats. Give me Cowan at the dog money.
Yeah, here's the thing though. Cowan hasn't fought.
If she shows up.
Yeah, first of all, she hasn't fought in 8 months and has had health issues.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
That's not not that we have a whole bunch of stats on what happens when they have. I don't want to talk about her feminine
blown
issues,
up ovary.
Like, yeah, ovary
exploded or something, right?
Ugh. Ovarian cyst or something like that. It was something
ovarian
bad.
Cyst, yes.
Yeah, it was something bad that I feel like I'm not qualified to talk about. But like, we don't have the stats on that particular injury. No. Who knows? But yeah,
we also don't have ovaries, right? So
I currently, no, that's correct.
No, I'm all out. All right. So we are, see, I told you things are weird. Things are weird now in this universe of ours. I'm taking dogs. You're taking favorites.
Well, you like it girls anyway. So
I do like the it girl, Haley Cowan. So hopefully this fight actually happens. Here's a this is as last minute as it gets. This fight just got made, about 4:30 Eastern on Wednesday, right before we recorded.
Yeah, right before we got jumped on here.
It is, originally was bantamweights Brian Kelleher, Jeremy Newsom. It is now 140 pounds, according to Tapology. Is that, did you hear that as well?
I did, yeah. It was so that McGee can make the cut now.
Catchweight fight, Jeremy Newsom is still there. Brian Kelleher, hopefully he is all right, but he's been replaced by Marcus McGee. Let me tell you about Marcus, the Maniac McGee. He's 6-1 with 6 knockouts. He's been submitted one time. This is a short notice UFC debut. So we got back to back people making the short notice debut. This is very much short notice, as I said. He's won 2 straight fights, both via knockout or TKO. He's a year younger than Newsom, 3 inches of reach on him, plus 184. Newsom, 10-4 with 1 no contest, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions. Been knocked out twice, 1-3 with 1 no contest in the UFC. The no contest was a win, but he tested positive for weed, which I don't think helps you in cage fights, but nonetheless, he really should be 2-3 because that's not illegal in MMA any longer. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 0-1-1 in boxing. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.34 strikes per minute, minus 214. Originally, I was not picking Newsom. Now I am picking Newsom because of my stats. This is very much short notice debut. Late replacements for people new to the party only win 36% of the time, and this is very much a short notice fight. So give me Newsom. I'm probably going to shy away from taking him at minus 214 because I was going to pick against him originally, but he's my pick officially.
So this is funny. We could not be on different pages there today because I was going to take Newsom against Brian Kelleher.
Yeah, and now
I'm not going to take him.
Tell us about the Maniac, Dan.
So this is more of a critique of Jeremy Newsom, because here's the thing about Jeremy Newsom. Jeremy Newsom, fun on his feet, right? Like, very good striker. Has a little trouble with wrestling, but a very good striker. He throws kicks to the upper body. He likes to throw that left kick right underneath his opponent's arm, like throws that to the higher part of the rib cage. And then he switches it up and throws it to the head too. He makes people miss a lot. When he does get taken down, he doesn't spend a whole bunch of time down. He's got really good cardio, but he does telegraph his bigger shots. And when I was actually talking about this fight with Jay Perrin recently, UFC fighter. Whoa, Jay
name
Perrin.
Drop. Do you hear that, yeah, everybody?
Name drop. I was on a different show with Jay Perrin for a bit.
Publicize any of your appearances. You really?
Oh, yeah. I did an appearance for Access MMA. They do a show with a fighter and a writer and a host. And I was the writer on, which is kind of nice. But he was
tell me about these things. You're so, better at that.
I'm just out there. Just keep an eye out. But what Jay Perrin said about Jeremy Newsom, a guy who he's trained with, is he said Jeremy has to feel comfortable in his striking in order to win a fight. He's a really good striker. Sometimes he doesn't believe he's a really good striker. And the thing about him fighting Kelleher is Kelleher does not hang around. Like, if you faint on Kelleher, he backs up. If you throw a long telegraph shot, he does not jump in and try to counter you and try to get in your face. He backs away and he waits for his opening. And, like, that's cool for Brian Kelleher, but it would have been a really bad thing to do against Jeremy Newsom. And here's the thing about Marcus McGee. He won't do that. Marcus McGee loves to be in a firefight. He loves to be in your face. He plods a little bit too much for me. Like, he really walks forward slowly sometimes. But, dude, once he's in your face, he just unloads and he hits so freaking hard. I picked against him once and was correct. He lost to Rafael do Nascimento, who I'm a big fan of. And it was just because he got, like, out-wrestled and out-jujitsu'd. But, like, he himself has got decent wrestling. So as long as he's not up against the guy who wants to wrestle him or wants to use his jujitsu, which in this case, Jeremy Newsom does not want to do those things, I actually think McGee might have an advantage there, too. So the fact that he's coming in on short notice, sure, does it worry me? But the fact that I'm getting almost 2-1 money on him, I think it's definitely worth the play.
Catchweight could help too.
I think catchweight could help. And he's an MMA lab dude. He was probably in shape the whole damn time.
Good point. Now this is for MMA nerds. You hear how long have we been recording, Dan, approximately today?
It looks like about 20 minutes.
Most of that was spent talking about Jimmy Lynn Horth and Marcus McGee.
Wait until I start talking about Arena Alexiva.
Oh, that's next after I tell you about our last couple sponsors. But yeah, Gumby knows his stuff. He may not be good at picking fights sometimes, but he knows his stuff. Was that sarcasm? I don't know, Dan.
I never know with your voice.
Underdog Fantasy. This is not sarcasm. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA and NHL playoffs are here. What better way to get down on some player prop parlays than over at Underdog Fantasy? Besides daily NHL, NBA, and MLB games, they've also got NFL best ball drafts with a guaranteed $500,000 in prizes. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. It's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. If that's not enough, we also have an NFL drafts props contest going on in-house here. Part of SGPN's draft week, SGPN is holding a free NFL draft props contest exclusively for members of our Discord. It's completely free to join, and the winner gets $250 cash, maybe out of Dan's pay. I'm not sure about that. And $50 SGPN gift card, so you can get yourself a multiple reach of the championship fighter shirt. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord and go to the NFL channel for the sign up link. All right.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did somebody say Arena Alexiva? Yes, Dan did.
Look at you right now with your pronunciations.
I know my Russian. Arena Alexiva versus Stephanie Egger, women's bantamweight fight. Yet another newcomer is coming in. Alexiva is the Russian Ronda. She's 4-1, one knockout, one submission. Oh, she didn't quit after her one loss, so she really isn't the Russian Ronda then, is she?
Ronda lost twice.
I know. I know, but mentally she'd quit. Alexiva has never been finished in a fight. This is her UFC debut. She did win her last fight after losing the one before that. She's 1-0 in Bellator, used to fight at featherweight. She's a judo champion, which you better be if your name is Russian Ronda or Judo Jim. Also is a sambo champion, 2-inch tight, 2 years younger than Egger, plus 250. Stephanie Egger, 8-3, three knockouts, four submissions. She's been submitted once. 3-2 in the UFC. She's won three of her last four, last one via submission. Used to fight at featherweight as well. 0-1 in Evicta. Also is a judo champion and a BJJ champion. 2 inches of reach on Alexiva, minus 275. Over to you.
I'm going to go with Egger here. Originally, I was like intrigued. I was like, ooh, we got a Russian coming in here that I don't know a lot about. You know, she's fought one time for Bellator. I didn't see that fight. I had to go back and watch it. And then I went back and watched her RCC fight, too, which I don't know what RCC stands for. But
Russian...
Combat championships.
Yeah. Good. That'll work.
Yeah. So I went and watched, and she's just like, she's kind of a messy brawler. She seems really easy to leg kick. When she does get into the pocket, she just kind of sits there and waits until you're done throwing and lets you hit her. When she's on the mat, like it's clear she wants to be the Russian Ronda because she just goes for anything from any angle, but doesn't really seem to like she goes for low percentage shit, which like, you know, like to an extent, I like the aggression and I like the fact that she's going for it. But at the same time, like if it's not there, it's not there. And you're like wasting your time, especially if you're on the bottom. And sometimes she's on the bottom. And I actually think she's going to have trouble with being on the bottom here, too, because with Egger also has like kind of a judo background, right? Like she comes from a judo background.
Yeah. And, judo champion.
Right. And like she dealt with the pressure of Aileen Perez really well. And I think Aileen Perez, believe it or not, is actually a little bit more technical than what I've seen out of Alexiva.
She's one of the greatest fighters ever, I heard.
She is. Did you see she's got a fight coming up too?
Does she have another fight?
Oh, come on.
I did see that.
How could you not be excited? I'll pull up the details.
I can't remember who she's fighting, though.
I'll pull up the details, or I'll the intern pull up the details in a second. I think she's more technical. I think she's going to deal with that pressure fine. If she does get on top, I think Alex Siva's going to spend so much time looking for a submission, she won't actually get up. Oh, she's fighting Ashley Evans-Smith, who, by the way,
she's coming back.
I thought she was fired so long ago. But anyway, she has not won a fight in over a year. So, and not in a good way. I'm going to take Stephanie Egger here. I think she deals with the pressure well enough. And I bet she just wears out this Alex Siva too.
Yeah, I'm taking Edgar too. I like her as a fighter. She had a good run there, and then she took a short notice fight, right? And
she looked so bad against Mayra Buena Silva.
Right.
But I think the thing is, well, and the other thing is too, is Mayra Buena Silva has looked really good since then too, right? Like she beat the hell out of Yanam Wu. She beat Stephanie Egger then, and then she tapped out Lena Landsberg. So like since coming up to Bantamweight, and now she's fighting Misha Tate. Up the Bantamweight, I don't think Mayra Buena Silva is anything to like shake a stick at. So, I'll take Egger here.
Yep, both taking Egger. Excuse me. Let's move on to flyweights, male flyweights. Cody Durden, Charles Johnson. Durden, 14-4-1, 6 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been submitted 3 times, 3-2-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight in 3 of 4. He used to fight at Bantamweight, was a regional champion. He's one of those weird guys. Well, like that could be a hard stop there, but he's also one of those weird guys with a strike differential of 0.0. Somehow he's been hit exactly the same amount as he's hit other people, which seems to happen more often than you'd think. Since I started tracking that, he's got better grappling stats than Johnson, +132. Inner G, one of our favorite nicknames, right?
Absolutely.
And he one of Dan's favorite guests on the Top Turtle MMA podcast. So it's Inner, INNERG. We don't want to go through why it's that again, but listen to Top Turtle if you want to hear it. He's 13-4, 6 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 2-2 in the UFC. He's got loss, win-win, loss. That is his pattern. He was the LFA champion before this. Used to fight at Bantamweight, was a pro boxer as well. 2 inches taller than Durden, 3 inches of reach on him. He's got better striking stats, and he's more active landing strikes. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.71 strikes per minute. He's at -140. Give me the wonderful man that is Cody Durden in this as the underdog. Wrestling and grappling is the name of the game here. And Dan could probably go more in depth on that.
Yeah, I think his wrestling is phenomenal. I think it's super underrated. Like even go back to that fight with Chris Gutierrez. And like he went up on short notice to fight Chris Gutierrez at Bantamweight. And he drew with him, which like, Hey, Chris Gutierrez has made a run through this division. Pedro Munoz loss aside, like this is a guy who knocked out Frankie Edgar and Baccarell Dana and Andre Ewell. And I mean, he beat Vince Morales. And like the only blemish up until Pedro Munoz was a draw to Cody Durden, and Cody Durden took him down a bunch of times. Now granted, Cody Durden shot a ton of takedowns and wound up, you know, not scoring too many of those, but like Durden's wrestling is just like very good. And we're talking about, I'm just personally fading Johnson because the thing is like he's coming off of a loss where he got out wrestled a bit by Ode Osborne. Now Ode Osborne, good high school wrestler, not an unbelievable MMA wrestler, definitely worse than Cody Durden when it comes to wrestling. He's coming off of a loss to Ode, and he's like just jumping right back at it. Like this dude fought 2 months ago. And he just was like, I need to get that loss back right away. And I know that mentality might be, you know, like a good one to have, or, you know, like I'm glad he wants to get back in there and he's not afraid to, but also like, how about taking some time to work on some stuff, Charles? Cause like, I really do think like working on his takedown defense or wondering why he lost that fight rather than just like blaming the judges for a bad split decision and jumping right back in there would have been the right move. I think the wrestling of Durden plays here. I think he gets as many takedowns as he wants. Probably wins round 1 and 2 and takes this fight here.
What's Energy's hair going to look like?
Oh, definitely the skullet is back.
Yeah, the skullet or the ducktail at the very least. Yeah, Durden drew Gutierrez, lost to Mokaev. So, lost to Flick too.
Flick, but that was by like a weird flying triangle. And like it was to a weird flying triangle after like he was getting his hands going. And it was just in like a tie up. But like, Yeah, apart from that, like, if you look at his record, like, the Keelan Iori fight was good. I mean,
he sent him back somewhere, too, after he beat him.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
We aren't?
He knocked out JP Bayes, and then he just, like, absolutely grappled the hell out of Carlos Mota, which was a real feather in his cap. So, I think he's the real deal.
All right. We're jumping from the lightest weight men to the heaviest boys. We're up to our favorite weight class, the chunky guys.
This is technically the prelim main event now, too.
It is. Oh, yes. I always like to say that. It's the main event of the prelims. Martin Boudet versus Jake Collier.
Chunky guys.
This is chunky guys all over it. Let's tell you about Baddies first. Baddies Boudet, 11-1 with 7 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 2-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series. This is all part of a 10-fight winning streak. He's not lost since October of 2017. Oh, the good old days. The halcyon days. Used to be a regional champion. 1 inch of height over Collier, 3 years younger. He has been outstruck over his UFC career by Contender Series career by 0.29 strikes per minute, but that hasn't stopped him from winning all of those fights. This one's pretty much a pick him on the board. Here's another fun line. -106.
I'll allow it.
Collier is the prototype. I don't think we've figured out what he's a prototype for, have we?
His old body was a prototype.
Now, I don't know. We'll try not to be rude. He's 13-8, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions, been knocked out 4 times, submitted once, 5-7 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights. He's won 1 of his last 4. Lost his last fight via TKO. Used to fight at middleweight and light heavyweight. That's what Dan was talking about. His other body. His body's kind of changed over the years. Was a regional champion. 2010 was his pro MMA debut. He's got an inch of reach on Boudet. He's more active landing strikes. He also has better grappling stats. He's outstruck his UFC opponents over his 12 fights by 0.93 strikes per minute. So that's impressive. He's -110. And it's over to you.
I'm taking Boudet.
Obviously, we are not picking Jake Collier.
And here's the thing is, like, I actually think you're going to look at round one here, this might be a great live bet spot for those of you who are, I know the DGens and the Discord have got a lot of live bet spots that they like. I actually think Jake Collier might wind up looking a lot better in round one. Because first of all, I think his boxing's just like a little crisper than Boudet. But as we saw with that Chris Barnett fight, like, he just had no gas tank after throwing a little bit. And the other thing is, too, is Boudet hits way harder. So, like, Collier's got some, like, nice boxing, but Boudet throws that, like, he throws, like, a weird rush three-hook combo. It kind of looks like he wants to be Vitor Belfort back when Vitor Belfort was, like, all jacked up on roids and 21 years old. Only he's, like, not jacked up on roids, 21 years old, or as fast as Vitor Belfort. But he throws that same combination. And it's got a lot of power behind it, especially for, a heavyweight who's seemingly off balance. And I think that'll work here. And it'll also just, like, look better if this goes to the judges' scorecards, which I think is a real possibility. Jake Collier's only wins recently are Chase Sherman and John Volante. So, like, yeah. How do you get behind a guy who's that? Those are his wins. I just can't. Carlos Felipe outstruck him. Andre Arlovsky outstruck him. Chris Barnett finished him. Yeah, give me Martin Boudet here.
He might beat those two people in a physique contest, too. Possibly.
He's close to... Yeah, maybe.
All right. Volante took the same approach as he did with his body and went up a few weight classes. All right, let's recap. We both have Boudet. That's a good line for him, right? Well, he's heavyweight, so who knows?
Yeah,
who
and really like knows? I said, I don't even think he's a better striker. So, like, before you get all jacked up and are like, hell yeah, -106 on Martin Boudet. Like, remember, we're watching high cholesterol, low-level MMA.
Yeah, at least he doesn't get knocked out, or hasn't at least yet. We both have Durden as the underdog. Fingers crossed there. We both have Egger as a very big favorite. Dan has McGee as a very big dog. I have Newsom as a pretty big favorite. And then I have Cowan as a dog, and he has Horth as a favorite. So we're flipping back and forth there. All right, that's it. Prelims in the books. We'll be back tomorrow. Before then, or until then, make sure you're in our Discord. If you aren't in there already, it's lots of fun. Lots of good people. Lots of shady people, right? SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, SGPN MMA. or Jeff Foxwriter. Actually, not or. And Jeff Foxwriter and Gumby Vreeland. Listen to his Top Turtle podcast. Told you about it already. This week, he interviews, let me think, Kai Bohio. Very good interview with him. And Jamie Lynn Horth. So make sure you listen to that. Read all their stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And you can subscribe to my MMA newsletter. Enter my pick'em contest. All that fun stuff at moneymma.substack.com. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. I bid you farewell. The Maniac, Jeff Fox. I'll be back tomorrow. The Russian Rhonda, Gumby Vreeland will be as well. Bye-bye.